very much for being here. We have two bills to take up this morning. The first, I have an author, Senator Olquist. Yeah, Senator Price, who's on the committee, will be the next author. Oh, well, we do have a quorum now, so if the secretary would read the roll.
Hancock?
Here.
Hancock here. Anderson?
Here.
Anderson here. Calderon? Herman? Liu?
Here.
Liu here. Price?
Here.
Price here. Steinberg.
Okay. Okay, we are hearing SB 760 by Olquist.
Thank you.
To deal with some of the recent amendments.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, and I'd like to thank the chair and the committee staff for working on this at this point in time. I thought I had already presented my very last bill in the legislature forever, but here I am again. So, so thank you. This bill is sponsored by the Los Angeles District Attorney and the Santa Clara District Attorney. SB 760 is an urgency measure. It addresses a technical issue that is jeopardizing the process for determining if a sex offender is a sexually violent predator, SVP. As the timeline, as of this April, SVP evaluators have to be civil servants rather than contracted employees. This personnel policy change has resulted in the resignation or retirement of several SVP evaluators over the last 4 months. These SVP evaluators were in the middle of ongoing cases. Without SVP evaluators to testify, ongoing cases are jeopardized and are dismissed. As soon as the LA DA and the Santa Clara DA noticed that there was a pattern of evaluators resigning, they began developing a legislative proposal in mid-May to respond to this emerging situation. And I amended SB 760 in mid-June. As an urgency measure, SB 760 adds resignation and retirement to the existing list of reasons why a replacement SVP evaluator can be appointed during an ongoing case. I also took an amendment to respond to concerns raised by the public defenders. Without SB 760, up to 130 ongoing SVP determination cases are potentially at risk in 18 counties, including 5 in Alameda County, 3 in San Diego County, 58 in Los Angeles County, 20 in Orange County, 10 in Sacramento County, and 1 in Santa Clara County. In fact, 2 potential SVPs were released in Los Angeles County in May because the evaluators had resigned, and I think that's really sad that that happened. I have witnesses. There is no opposition to the bill. I ask for your aye vote on this, my very last bill I'm presenting in committee.
Thank you. Witnesses and support.
Yes, Jim Provenza, Los Angeles District Attorney's Office. We are the sponsor of the bill. It is a true emergency. The 2 cases dismissed in Los Angeles County were cases that had already gone through a probable cause hearing where a judge had determined that there was probable cause to believe they were a sexual violent predator. 2 psychologists had determined that they were likely to offend again. One of these cases involved an individual who had molested 6- and 7-year-old girls. He had been convicted on 3 separate occasions of this offense and had admitted to 10 victims. There were probably more. The professionals at the Department of Mental Health determined that he, if released, was likely to reoffend. That person was released because we did not have evaluators to go to trial with. This bill corrects that problem and hopefully avoids that situation in our other pending cases. Ask for your aye vote.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Corey Salzillo on behalf of the California District Attorneys Association. And in the interest of time, I'll just tell you that we support the bill and ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Dawn Kepke with McHugh Kepke and Associates on behalf of Crime Victims United of California, also in support, urging an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there others in support of the measure? Are there speakers in opposition to the measure? Seeing and hearing none, I wonder if there are comments from the committee. I do have a question. It says in the analysis that these resignations may have been the result of civil service status for the evaluators, which resulted in them getting lower pay. I wondered if any the author or any of the witnesses have a comment on that.
Well, it's a complicated situation, and there's a lot of possible reasons that we have heard. There were differences of opinion with the department over how evaluations were being done. There were also a change in the way the contracts were being made. And there still will be contracts in the future, because where there's split opinions, the law requires that outside experts be appointed. So there are some potential issues there that I think the legislature will probably want to look at in the future. This shouldn't have happened, but right now we're just trying to put a Band-Aid on the immediate situation.
Well, I certainly support the bill as a way of doing that. I just want to flag the ongoing structural issue and look forward to conversations with stakeholders as this moves forward.
I'd like
Senator
to move
Anderson,
the bill.
Bill's been moved. Is there a motion to, so the motion is to return the bill to the Senate floor as amended.
Not as amended?
Just as it is? Okay, just return the bill to the Senate floor. Call the roll, please.
Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Calderon? Harmon? Calderon?
Aye.
Calderon, aye. Harmon? Liu?
Aye.
Liu, aye. Price?
Aye.
Price, aye. Steinberg?
Five to zero. That bill is out. 5-0.
Thank you.
And Senator Price? Also a 2910 hearing, Senate Bill 542.
Members, in these tough financial times, it's important to effectively utilize every source of funding that we can. The Inmate Welfare Fund was created in 1945 for the benefit, education, and welfare of inmates. It consists of proceeds from money that inmates' families deposit in their spending accounts. However, according to an audit by the Department of Finance and a report from the Inspector General's office, the fund has been poorly managed. This is likely because the benefit, education, and welfare of inmates has been broadly defined and loosely interpreted. Senate Bill 542 helps to ensure better accountability of the Inmate Welfare Fund by better outlining services that the funds may be used for, including education, recreation, family visiting services, and obtaining identification cards. The bill also builds in accountability, as it requires each warden to meet with representatives from advocacy groups and with inmates to determine how the funds are to be spent. Importantly, SB 542 is not intended to supplant current programs that the Department of Corrections is effectively running or those that the Department of Corrections is mandated to provide inmates. Rather, the bill merely outlines how the Inmate Welfare Fund may be used to meet the needs of inmates. We've all operated in the spirit of collaboration throughout this process. I've held a series of meetings with stakeholders. My staff has also worked closely with the opposition, as well as staff from both the Assembly, Public Safety, and the Appropriations Committees. And we've taken several amendments that they've suggested. As a result, the bill has passed both committees with bipartisan support and no votes. The Prison Law Office and the Legal Services for Prisoners with Children have removed their opposition. Members, I've met with inmates, I've met with their families, I've met with service providers within and without the prison system. The needs of inmates are real, and they and their families should have a say over how the money is invested in the Inmate Welfare Fund and how it's used. I encourage your support of the bill, which will call for the accountability of mismanaged funds in order to ensure that inmates have every opportunity to take advantage of the services that they are desperately in need of, need in during incarceration. Here to testify is Gail Brown of the Life Support Alliance, and Rebecca Gonzalez from the National Association of Social Workers.
Any witnesses in support?
Thank you. Gail Brown, Life Support Alliance. Also, more importantly probably, is I'm a member of the Solano Family Council, chair there for the last 4 years. I have also chaired the council down at Dual Vocational. So I work closely with the families of incarcerated and have a lot of contact with the inmates. Interaction with the families and of the incarcerated on a daily basis, as well as contact with them, those serving sentences. It's necessary to acknowledge those who fund this inmate welfare fund in the state. The programs and items needed and paid for by this program are essential tools in prison programs and to reentry. We strongly support and urge you to pass SB 542, Inmate Welfare Fund Bill. The legislation is an important step toward providing accountability and transparency to the Inmate Welfare Fund, and would also provide the opportunity for IWF monies to make a real impact on the welfare of California prisoners. The California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation has long directed the expenditures of IWF monies in nebulous ways that are of actual little benefit to inmates. SB 542 gives inmates and their families, those responsible for funding the IWF, the chance to use these monies toward important programs which are not provided by CDCR and which the inmate population desperately needs and wants, along with providing ID cards prior to release, which will ease a fragile transition that can aid in successful reentry and support public safety. The oversight needed for IWF is long overdue, and Senator Price's bill recognizes this need, along with including stakeholders who previously have been kept out of the discussion and decisions of how this fund would be distributed, by including those whose resources are actually being spent and allowing them to weigh in on the process would be assured through this legislation. To make use of the IWF as a resource to fulfill this need would be a true accomplishment of the IWF mission, and allowing inmates and their representatives to participate in these decisions brings a new level of accountability to a fund that has long been underused and under-scrutinized. We believe it's an important and fiscally responsible bill and urge your support. Thank you.
Rebecca Gonzalez, National Association of Social Workers, California Chapter. We also support this bill. We believe it will aid in the rehabilitation of the inmate and also their reentry into society. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there others in support of the bill? Are there speakers in opposition to the bill? Are there questions or comments? Or the bill's been moved? Again, I know there was a great deal of discussion about the fine line between the fund taking over responsibilities that should be the responsibility of the state and the fund being used for its original intent and purpose to augment items that the inmates might need. I would note I've carried an ID bill. I think getting ID cards is very, very important. CDCR has recently indicated it wants to do that, although my bill had been vetoed by the previous governor on a couple of occasions. And I think anything that we can do to move that process along will be good. And I think the idea of a council, frankly, looking at the needs of each specific institution and giving advice is a really good idea and step forward. So thank you for bringing the bill. Senator Price, do you want to close?
I appreciate your comments and the consideration of the committee. I ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Secretary, read the roll, please.
The action is hold or return to the floor?
The motion is to return this bill to the floor.
Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Calderon?
Aye.
Calderon, aye. Harmon?
Aye.
Harmon, aye. Lou? Lou, aye. Price?
Aye.
Price, aye. Steinberg? 6-0.
That bill is out, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.